We all know you love keeping up with old friends and posting pictures of your kids on Facebook, but did you know you can also find America's foremost family authority there? For up-to-date program information and the latest articles and insights from psychologist and best-selling author and my dad, Dr. James Dobson, go to your Facebook page and search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on Facebook. Join the growing number of fans and like us today.
We are so glad that you have stopped by for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson.
And our host is psychologist, best-selling author, and my dad, Dr. James Dobson. Dad, we began a conversation yesterday about how to keep the culture of entitlement out of your home.
Mm-hmm. That's a great concept, and I don't believe that we have dealt with in these terms. We want to keep the entitlement mentality out of the child's heart as well. Mm-hmm. And we did have a wonderful time yesterday with a new friend, Kay Wills Wima, talking about her own experiences with her children, trying to develop character in them in the midst of a culture that's continually telling kids that the whole world somehow owes them something. Yeah. You know, I have a great deal of admiration for Kay and her husband, John, because they drew the line in the sand and said, not in our home. Mm-hmm. And the Wimas have five children, so they know of whom they speak. Their ages span from kindergarten to high school. And we heard some great stories about them last time. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we're all looking forward to hearing more today. Kay has written a book called Cleaning House, A Mom's 12-Month Experiment to Rid Her Home of Youth Entitlement. Well, Kay, we're glad to have you back talking about this subject and the topic of your book. I think it's an inspired idea. And I'll tell you, after we had that interview last time, I went home and we had dinner with about six friends, and we wound up talking about what you had said in the studio. And I hope they're listening today because they're going to hear even more. Mm-hmm. You wrote this book as a result of an experiment that your subtitle describes, and it took place in your own home. You saw something that you didn't think was healthy, and you set about changing it. Summarize that for us.
What I really saw were my kids looking to me to serve them at every single turn, and it disturbed me. It disturbed me because I felt like they were looking to the state to serve them, and I don't believe in that ideology. And so when I witnessed that, and I would have thought of myself as someone that didn't do that. I never was a mother that hovered at the playground, going from opening to opening so my kids wouldn't fall. I kind of felt like if they were going to fall, they would learn to never do it again. You know, it would hurt. And so it surprised me that I was effectively doing that in my house and that it needed to change.
Where you were doing everything for the kids.
You bet. I mean, moms and dads do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Kay, I'm pushing your book back towards you because I'm about to ask you a question that you may need your own book to answer.
Okay.
You listed 12 things in that book. Maybe you remember them all, but 12 things that you didn't want your kids to leave home without knowing.
Right.
Now, you want to consult your book, or can you remember?
Well, I remember most of them.
Oh, boy. I hope I don't get busted sending my third child off to college here.
Well, you know what's so interesting, and I hope makes everyone feel great about themselves, is that we started very low. You know, my kids weren't making their beds. And I know I did that when they were little. I'm not quite sure where it stopped, but I'm fairly certain it started along the time where I kept telling myself, it's so much easier just to do it myself.
Yeah.
So we had to start there with beds and clutter. Here's an interesting thing that I think we forget. When your kid organizes their own room, they tend to keep it clean. And yet we as mothers go in and color code drawers and have labels on things and go in and clean it all up and then wonder why everything's out on the floor the next day. Well, it's when they own it, it's incredible. You could go into a certain teenage girl's bathroom and see still an organized drawer that she did several months ago, which let's just say that's quite the feat. But from there, we went to the kitchen. had them learn how to cook and clean and go to the grocery store. We did work outside in the yard, which, let me just say, I'm terrible. Anything green coming into our house, it's a death sentence. So it proved to me that you don't have to be an expert at something to do it. So I didn't know how to do the yard. We all figured it out together. And I made them get jobs. The ones that could get a job had to get a job. My 14-year-old with his friend proved to me very quickly that places don't hire 14-year-olds. They called everywhere, and they really did, which was, pathetic. But which is another thing for society, that you can't hire a kid to help you out. It really benefits everybody. Mm-hmm. But there are great youth centers that will hire a child. They don't pay them. But we stepped in and rewarded them with what we thought was sufficient. Then we moved on to what I call domestic dirty jobs, which was the Lysol involved items.
Are these among the 12 items?
These are all. About? This is task five. This was one of those jobs, the domestic dirty jobs where they really clean the bathroom, that I realized, as I should have at the beginning, that all of these tasks have others on the other side of it. There's an enormous amount of other-centeredness that comes along with all of this, which truly is the secret sauce to life,
Well, Kay, it makes me think of the fact that when Robbie cleans the bathroom and his brother messes it up, I'm not the one that jumps on his brother. Robbie's in there saying, hey, I just cleaned that. You better clean it up.
Yeah. So. And there's a huge amount of service that for a girl to have to go in and clean her brother's bathroom, or for her brother to have to fold.
They howled about that one.
By that point, they knew it didn't matter. I had sort of drawn the line in the sand, and it just didn't matter because I'm a mean mom.
Oh, man, I love this woman.
You're a drill sergeant.
That was terrible.
Kay, let me ask you about one of these specifically.
Okay.
Because you talk about the importance of a kid having a job where they report to someone that's not a parent.
Yes.
So Luann's son mows somebody's lawn.
Right.
He doesn't report to her.
Yes.
He reports to that person.
Right.
Why is that important?
Boy, there's so many things about it that are good. I feel like kids tune their parents out. It's like a Far Side cartoon with the blah, 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 blah. But when they're answering to someone else, they actually get to learn the merits that go behind work that they will meet one day. Mm. And that is doing a job well. Like your mother, making you go back and do it the right way. You have to do it with excellence. What a beautiful thing to teach a kid. They need to learn that they answer to someone, that you're rewarded for certain things, that you have to show up. It's not something you go, well, I feel like going today, but I don't feel like doing that tomorrow. You go whether you feel like it or not. Everyone sitting at this table and listening has to do that in their life. I don't get a day off as a mother. Certainly didn't get to choose when I went into the office. I had to go. And often I had to do things I didn't like to do and that, quite frankly, I wasn't gifted at doing. When I worked at Bank of America, I'm not the most detail-oriented person. Some of those spreadsheets were not just my cup of tea. Talking with the clients, I loved. But that wasn't all my job was. There were more things to it. What a beautiful thing to teach a kid. Mm-hmm. And that does come beautifully from someone other than yourself and someone other than family. When they're young, a lot of these jobs are with family because you can't get anything. You just can't go to the hardware store and have them hire your kid. I wish that was different. I really do. It makes me sad that it isn't. You don't have paper boys anymore that are waking up before dawn, or girls, paper boys or girls, that are folding the newspapers, that are going around knowing which houses that they have to deliver to, that are collecting the money, that are, all those things that were so responsibility infusing. Those don't exist anymore. I have a good friend that told me that when she was in high school, she and her friend job shared at a little cleaner's in a small town in Texas. The owner gave them the key. They locked up at night at 15 years old. And they took the money to the bank and deposited it. Crazy. Who would think a 15-year-old could do that? I'm pretty sure the 15-year-olds today are the same as my friend was at 15.
Yeah, but society is very different.
Right.
Well, and that's why you give great examples in the book. You talk about car washes and, maintenance and yard care, which is also one of your 12 things you want to teach your kids, how to do handyman jobs.
Yes.
There are so many people that can't do those things that if your 15-year-old can, I mean, there is a wealth of work to be done out there.
Yes, but you hit on one chapter that was a doozy for us. Because my husband tolerated a lot of this. I kind of call him Safety Sam sometimes because he's so concerned about anything that might hurt someone. And a lot of times power tools do that. There are a lot of handyman jobs that don't involve power tools but might involve electricity. All kinds of things that he really preferred to do himself, which he did. And it didn't stop in that month. And so in the book, I really do share the good, the bad, and the ugly, and this was not a pretty time for us. There was a specific example where our oldest is the drain in his shower backed up, and he didn't tell us, like a kid just doesn't, until it was flowing out over onto the floor. And I was so excited because it was handyman month, and I thought, yes, he can learn how to use a drain snake. You know, what a beautiful thing. Everybody needs to know how to do that. And I promptly ran downstairs to get it, and sweet John asked me what I was doing. I told him, and he zipped me right there. Don't do it. It was late. He didn't want the kids involved in that. He wanted to do it. He wanted to do it right. Mm-hmm. We still, you know, it's hard for John not to step in and do it for him. But I will tell you, as a wife, my job in that moment was to submit to my husband. Mm-hmm. And it was hard.
Well, I would turn that around too, Kay. I'm thinking of the same 18-year-old whose car was leaking, and Steve told him exactly what to go do and how to do it. And Kenny kind of dragged his feet, and I wanted to jump in and say, well, Steve, you can go help him. And I had to literally, as that proverb says, set a guard over your mouth and just kind of back up and say, whoa, he knows what he's doing. Kenny's kind of feeling uncomfortable, but I wanted Steve to jump in and kind of rescue him. And sometimes as wives, we do need to just back up and let our husbands train these kids as they see fit.
Because there's a lot more going on.
You know, one of the wonderful things about work as a child is that it teaches you the discipline necessary to stay with something. Yes. When I was about 11 years of age, a businessman gave me a big stack, maybe 500 handbills, and said, I want you to go put these under the windshield wiper of everybody in this whole section of town.
Wow.
And I was out there for 2 hours. It felt like 40 hours. And when I got back, he paid me 50 cents, 25 cents an hour. You can bet I spent that money very differently than I would have if I'd gotten it for Christmas. And I learned that work is hard.
Yes.
And you stay with it. You know, Dad stayed with it for 8 hours. I was out there for 2 hours and thought I was going to die. But I learned something from that.
Well, I love that you brought up the worth of the money. When you work for it, it means a lot. And I have watched that with the kids. We did provide financial incentive for them because we needed that. You know, every family has to do that as they see fit. I have noticed that our kids have spent none of their money. They've been tempted, but they walk into stores that they used to walk in and ask me to buy them several things. They walk in and leave. And I've watched a kid actually count out the difference in money if he bought one size versus another. They have to go ask for help to get what they need. And then when they check out, they look at the receipt because they really genuinely care about it because it was their hard-earned money.
Great training. Yes.
Okay, I got to ask, one of your kids, because you had your kids cooking dinner certain nights of the week.
Right.
And if they wanted to buy dinner, you would start off with $10 and then they had to pay the rest of it.
Right.
And one of your children just chose, I'm going to pay for it every time.
Yes.
How did you get beyond that? Because that's the rule you set up. We'll give you 10, you can put the rest in. And they said, hey, I don't want to cook. I'm going to pay for it every time.
Yeah, and you know, I had such great motives in that, and it so backfired. And there are many things that I shared in the book that backfired. And so we had to beep and back up, you know, and start over. Because what I saw at the end of the month were three kids who were growing and who were really feeling like they could do a lot. And I had one kid that was sinking. And it happened to be the kid that was purchasing meals every night because he was looking for somebody else to do it for him. And it never met everybody's expectations. It crushed him every time. And I watched him becoming a shell of a person, and I felt sick and realized what I was denying him by not making him step up and do what everybody else was doing. Because he was watching them do it, and in his mind, he was doing what teens do. You know, they're in that vortex of self-absorption, thinking they're so terrible and no one likes them. He was watching every meal going, I can't cook. I can't do it. They can do it. I can't do it. And there's that tape. I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. And it had to stop. So as a mother, my job training.
Yes.
I stopped it. And I was like, you know what, kid? Welcome to the world of cooking. You no longer get to buy meals. And it stopped. There were many times we had to do that. There were, because that's part of parenting. And if you came to my house today, I guarantee you, you would find a bed unmade. And I'm pretty sure you'd hear someone complaining because we're just regular. You know, we're just people.
I feel so much better now.
Well, gosh, but so much of parenting is putting one foot in front of the other and just doing it.
So what we're saying is, even if you know your kid is going to backtalk and complain and all of that, just try it. Just start with one of these areas of responsibility that you've talked about as an experiment and watch what happens. Watch that little confidence just
and
blossom
stick it out.
In them.
Absolutely. Stick with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to ask the two mothers who are here, if the motive for doing too much for your kids isn't some of the time, that it's just so much quicker and easier to do it yourself than to teach and follow up and correct and change and then not have it done right. Is well, that right?
Such a basic concept in life, Doctor. I think so much of that phrase, you can give a man a fish or you can teach him to fish. And I quote that to myself all the time. Yes, it's a whole lot easier to just hand a man a fish rather than taking the time to teach him to fish. But isn't that the definition of motherhood? My job, your job, Kay, is to teach our children to fish.
Right. And I was very blessed in this experiment, which some might find crazy, but I had a toddler. I mean, he was three, my youngest at the time we started. And there were many a day that he would scream because he had a blue cup instead of his green cup. And, you know, would I ever give in to that? No, if you give in, you're always going to have to be switching cups and doing all these things. But as toddlers, we learn really quickly to ignore it and that they survive. And on the other end, they're drinking out of the cup that they had. And one day I sat there with my teen doing the same thing to me, but with words. And I thought, oh, my word, I'm the meat in a tantrum sandwich. And it's the same thing. And it was so liberating because I thought, ignore.
Yes.
I just need to ignore it, you know?
And the child is not the only one that gets confidence, Kay. You and I, as mothers, become more confident in our parenting. I'm thinking of the exact same thing. Our 14-year-old picked up a little lawn mowing job, and I'm not kidding, a rather small front and backyard of a neighbor. And the first time he did it, I drove him over there, helped him unload his items, and I literally sat in our trunk and watched him as he did it. It took him 3 hours to mow this tiny little front and back lawn. And I was itching to get in there and say, I'll just hold that for you. I'll just break that for you. I'll just do it. And I saw these eyes rolled in the background like, excuse me, mother, you're just sitting there. And I'm thinking, yeah, yes, you're getting paid for this. I'm going to sit here. It took a lot of work to sit there. But I'm happy to say, here we are. Several months later, he can do that lawn in 1 hour now, and he has earned the money, and it's exactly what you're talking about.
Luann, I think I was 12 when I got a job mowing the lawn, and I didn't have a motor on my lawn mower. I had to push it.
And you couldn't ride it.
Yeah, I couldn't, and I went over there, and I got 35 cents for mowing this yard. And my mother came after I'd done it and looked over the job I'd done and said, go knock on the door and give them their 35 cents back.
Whoa.
Because you did such a terrible job. You're going to learn to do things right. And then you mow the lawn without 35 cents.
Wow.
That's what she did to me.
Wow.
But it'd been a whole lot easier for her to have ignored that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
That's why I was saying earlier, Luann, that you are a good mom. Last night, how did the shells turn out?
They turned out wonderfully. Thank you,
her
Ryan.
Her son called and offered to cook dinner.
Mm-hmm. He's 18. Oh.
That's a big deal. You've got to be so proud.
He made stuffed shells. Thank you very much. And I went home and the kitchen was cleaned up and there was a hot meal in the oven. And it's exactly what you said, Kay. The confidence on him. He'll be heading off to college here this weekend. We take him to college and he can cook.
Mm.
But I tell you, the other side of that, though, is as parents, and you talk about this, Doctor, that law of reinforcement, I had better well compliment him and reinforce and thank him and acknowledge. So often our kids do things or they do clean up the dishes and we don't say a word. I mean, that's what I respond to when other people acknowledge what I've done well.
Mm-hmm. And I just love that he did it for the family too. And that's one thing about this chore and just family. It's such a test tube for society. Mm. So you have them being involved and being an integral part, which is a key thing for kids these days. They're looking for everything to fill that void. They go on to these games where they're playing with people they don't even know.
Yes.
And who knows who they are, because they're searching for a place to fit and to be anchored. And it's the power of being a part of something that, and we all have it mm-hmm. in our home. We have a place for them to belong, and it's so good.
Doctor, I just want to mention very quickly, it's obvious here that there's a single mom listening who should take some
yes.
part.
Mm-hmm.
She beats herself up so much for the times she's not there or not doing things. And I think sometimes that's an opportunity to say, you know what, my children are learning some things, mm-hmm. getting some skills and some confidence that they may not have otherwise had because of the responsibility.
Yeah, and many of those single mothers feel sorry for their kids because they don't have a father.
Mm-hmm.
To help them with things. So they do everything themselves.
Yeah.
And that really is not a good answer to what is a very real problem.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I ask you about those 12 things.
Yes.
You started down the list. We interrupted you. And we've got very
little
time.
I'll take time for that one.
We've got very little time left. Read them all.
Okay,
real quick. Here we go.
Well, Operation Clutter Control, Kitchen Patrol, Grounding Time, which was yard work, Working for a Living, Domestic Dirty Jobs, Roll Tide, which is laundry, and the Handyman Can, the Entertainers, I really wanted them to learn how to host a party, Team Players, which was them finding something and working together, Runner's World, teaching them how to do errands because that's a part of life, It's About Others, we had a whole month of service, and Ladies and Gentlemen, which I wanted them to know a little bit about manners.
You know that what you have written here and the fact that you did it and you did it for a year is very impressive to me.
Yeah.
That's what every parent ought to be doing. It's a lot of hard work, and many wives are working themselves outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come home, they've still got a lot of work to do. So not everybody can do that, but where they can, it's a good project.
Well, let me read a piece from your book, Kay.
Okay.
Because this inspired me, and I actually took a photo of the cover and texted it to my wife and said, guess what we get to do today? And she's excited, too, because we get to involve my son in this now, who's mm-hmm. almost 6 years old. It says, rather than moan and groan about how entitled kids are these days, let's equip them to work hard, and let's seek out creative ways to help them embrace the value of meaningful work. Then, at the end of what most certainly will be a long road, most likely a countercultural road, we can sit on our front porches, sweet tea in hand, and watch them soar. Mm-hmm. I am convinced, because I've watched it work, that when you teach your kids how to do things and then sit back and let them go, they will reach for and achieve goals much higher than any parent would have set.
Mm-hmm. That's well said.
Very well said.
It's well written, too.
Yeah.
Luann, we're out of time. You want to say one last thing?
No, I just appreciate, Kay, I think I mentioned this to you before. I feel like you've given us permission to do what deep inside we know we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that we live in a society that's telling us we should be doing all these things for our kids. Deep inside most of us, I believe that we know it's our job to train them and teach them. And thank you for giving us permission to do so.
Wow.
The title of the book is Cleaning House, A Mom's 12-Month Experiment to Rid Her Home of Youth Entitlement. Sounds like you did that very, very well. This book is published by Waterbrook, and Luann, we will
link to it. It'll be very easy to find.
I think this is going to be a big bestseller. Thanks for coming and talking to us about it. And what are you working on now? You got other projects for your kids? And are they saying, oh, no, mom's at it again?
Isn't that the truth? They're so sweet to put up with me. I just so appreciate you guys. Thank you for all you do for just us as parents. I for one, appreciate what you do. Thank you very much.
Okay, the feeling is mutual. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so glad we could bring this information to parents. And like you just said, Luann, they can easily find the book Cleaning House at drjames.com. jamesdobson.org or ask about it when they call. Family Talk's number is 877-732-6825.
And while you're on the phone requesting the book, I would highly recommend you ask for a few complimentary CD copies as well. Ask for a few extra to hand out to those moms you run into, whether it's at a prayer group, a MOPS group, even some of those moms you run into at the playground at school.
Mm-hmm. Well, Luann, we really do love to send these CDs out to those in need. But for those who are able to, if there's a way you can give a donation when you ask for those CDs, it does allow us to send it to people who can't afford it and do need that help, and we will be grateful for that donation.
And when it's like a CD or a book, Ryan, the helpfulness of that just goes on and on and on. When you're done, pass it on to somebody else who can use it. As you can see, Family Talk is deeply committed to getting resources like this into the hands of busy parents like you. Mm-hmm. Ryan, real quickly in the close, we want to point out we're now featuring blogs on our website. Several Family Talk staff will be covering everything from single parenting to empty nesting. You and I will even be weighing in once in a while on that ourselves.
That's right. So if you haven't stopped by drjamesdobson.org recently, now is a good time to start. Or if you'd like to call us to donate or request those CDs, again, our phone number is 877-732-6825.
Thanks so much for joining us today, and we do hope you'll return next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.
On the next Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, we'll hear from a wife who stood strong when cancer struck their family.
Many people say, oh, I could never do that. But when you're faced with it, you do it. You rise to the occasion. I think that's where God's strength comes in and gives you the ability to do what you have to do because it's your family.
You too can be deeply rooted in your faith. Hear about it next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.